Hi, welcome to Caffeination 011. Or if you're keeping track of us in binary terms, that would be 1011. Alright, everybody, I'd just like to say hi today. This is our first show in the new format. We're going to do a couple different things today. We're going to start off with three different Podsafe music tracks for you tonight. We're going to add a new section called Quick Hits. It's quick little news blurbs and stories. And we're also going to have all of your caffeine-related joy and tech-related goodness. So thanks for sticking with us. We look forward to hearing from anybody on our listener line at 206-600-3076 or our email address at pzulbox@podomatic.com. Now for the quick hits, think of this like espresso for your mind. All the same caffeine goodness, just shrunk right down. We're going to run through these here kind of quickly. First up, I'd like to wish a happy belated birthday to ENIAC. Yes, the grandfather of all modern computers. Turned 60 this past February 14th. Originally turned on 1946, February 14th. So this would be the 61st year of digital computing. Second up is a little article on Wikisurfing. Something I've been doing a little bit lately on. It's where you just open up Wikipedia, you follow some of the links off their front page, and see exactly how strange of a topic you can end up on. Last week, I started off on something with Douglas Adams, who wrote The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, So Long and Thanks for All the Fish, and books like that, and ended up researching secret organizations in colleges across the country. Turns out both men who ran for election last time, both John Kerry and George W. Bush, were member of a secret society at Yale called the Skull and Bones. Interesting stuff. I'd like to see what anybody else turns up. And third and finally, we'd like to thank Brady Hicks for sending us a story about flying cars. Apparently those crazy bastards up at MIT, the students are working on a SUV with retractable wings that they hope will carry two people plus luggage on 500 to 100 mile hops. Well, thanks Brady for sending us that story, and anybody else who'd like to send us stories, just feel free to email me at pzulbox@podomatic.com and you'll end up on the show. Thanks. Okay, people, next up we have The Devil Is In by the band Black Seed, the Podsafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. This has kind of a long intro, so you probably noticed that I've been talking over it for a little bit. I love songs like this, nice hard-hitting guitar, good lead vocals, so just tell me what you think again. We accept all comments, good or bad, and we'll pass them on to the artists. Again, here's The Devil Is In by Black Seed.
Yeah.
Devil Is In by the band Black Seed. Little zombie-esque, if you ask me. Little white zombie, maybe a little Rob zombie on the side. I don't know. Again, tell me what you think. All right, now that we're in the tech news section here at the Caffeination. A little bit longer this week, just because we're trying to fit a whole bunch of stuff in. Well, anyway, thanks to St. Valentine's Day on the second day of this week, it also fell on the so-called Black Tuesday. For those of you who don't know, Black Tuesday is the day every month, which is the first Tuesday, or second Tuesday of the month, I'm very sorry, during which Microsoft will release all of the patches for all of their operating systems. They're doing this to try and give systems administrators a little time to update, and they know when things are coming. It's pretty rare for them to release a patch out of the cycle, as they refer to it. But just take this time to, if you haven't already done it yet this week, run Windows Update on your machine or Apple Software Update if you have a Mac, and just check and make sure everything's going okay with your software there. You also might want to take the time, since Microsoft's reminding you to do it for their products, if you have antivirus software, make sure that's up to date. Look through your spyware and everything else. Make sure everything's all up to date. Figure if you do it once a month, it'll save you a hassle down the road. You might also want to set up a little time, put aside some time for yourself where you actually run into some backups, where you take copies of the files that you've been working on over the past month or so, burn them to a CD, save them to an external hard drive or something, and move them away. Just take them away from your computer. That way, if should anything happen to your computer, child spilling water on it or something like that, your files are safe. Especially goes all to all those people out there in technical fields and those people still in school. It's better to be safe than sorry. So you might waste one CD a month, but by the end of the year, if something happens, you're not SOL, if you know what I mean. All right, we're also going to talk a little bit about some open source pimpage here. As I've spoken a couple times here on the Caffeination, I'm a big fan of open source software. I'd like to let you know a little bit more about another one of the open source software solutions that I've been using lately. It's called the OpenOffice Project. It's actually sponsored by Sun Computers, computers that run probably around 90% of the servers on the internet. But I love this program, I gotta tell you, it's wonderful. If you're a fan of MS Office, and I have been over the years, I've been more of a fan of Microsoft Office than any of the other word processing programs out there. I hate WordPerfect with a passion that runs very, very deeply, and Microsoft has never worked for me, so Microsoft Works always sucks. It's kind of like the bastard child that you don't want to talk about, the little red-headed, proverbial red-headed stepchild, in case we have any red-headed stepchildren actually listening to this show. Sorry to offend you. But yeah, I think my hatred of WordPerfect stems from a lot of papers and assignments having to be written out on them at our first 286 in the basement. We had Commodores and everything before that, but I never had to write a report on them, if you know what I mean. I was forced and chained to WordPerfect 3.1, I think, so never really liked it, never liked it after the fact. But I've been happy with Office up until the last permutation. I hate Office 2003. I'm a fan of toolbars. I like the things that I want to use up at the top of the screen where they should be. I don't like menus popping up. I don't like things resizing. I just want to be able to work in an environment that doesn't change. It's pretty steady. I mean, there's certain applications where I could see this being advantageous. For instance, video editing, 3D modeling, even Photoshop and stuff like that. There's times when you need certain menus and there's times that you don't. But in Office, you always need access to a certain core set of tools. I can't stand that the little toolbar pops up on the side whenever I try and open a new document. Pop up in a new window like you used to, and I'll be fine with it. Anyway, sorry for a little aside there at that moment, but OpenOffice is everything that an Office program should be. It has calculating programs, it has equation writing programs for those people out there who are mathematicians. It has a word processor, Excel-style database, has a database program, has a word processor, spreadsheet program, database program, among a couple other different things. Like, I think it even has a replacement for Visio, which is a vector line drawing. Most people use to draw Venn diagrams and the like in Office. Nobody actually uses Visio. I mean, I've used it maybe once or twice, but moved on to other CAD softwares after that. But, yeah, I'd really give OpenOffice, it's at openoffice.org, really give OpenOffice an honest try. because I'm pretty sure that once you start it up and you get used to working around in it, it's going to be a lot more seamless of a program to work with. You don't necessarily have to know as much about the program as you do what you want to do with it. I don't like software where you have to sit there and think, you know, do I really want to do this? How do I go about doing that? No, I just want to bold some text. It should be relatively simple. There should be a B at the top of the screen. I mean, you know, KISS. Keep it simple, stupid. Microsoft should have subscribed to this in the latest version of Windows. I only hope that Office 2007, which, for those people unaware, is the next version of Office coming out, should be out at the end of 2006, because why should you put it out during the year you named it, effer? But, hey, neither here nor there. Also, another little open source tidbit we have going on here is, I don't know how many people out there use Microsoft Outlook or Outlook Express or a little internet mail, but a lot of viruses and a lot of things tend to go through Outlook and Outlook Express. I mean, if you secure them properly, they're very good. They're kind of like a Outlook, at least, is a full-featured email client. It's very hefty. It has a calendar in it, has a reminder system, has to-do list, task management, and it kind of builds it out, and you get away from the core values. What most people need from an email program is the ability to email, the ability to receive email, and maybe a little bit of news reading capabilities built into it, because it's all text information being funneled directly into your head. But that's why I've been using, at least for the past year and a half now, I've been using Mozilla Thunderbird, which you can get from Mozilla.com. But Mozilla Thunderbird's a lightweight mail program. It's nice and light, has an address book built in, and pretty much that's it. You can read news groups, you can read RSS feeds, and you can read emails. Everything's news, everything's text data, pretty much. It doesn't get much better than that. So that's my little open source pimpage for the day. Next up from the PodSafe Music Network, we're going to do three of these today, but next up from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com, we have the sound scientist from Bill. Yes, just Bill. I don't know who Bill is, but apparently he has a song called Sound Scientist. Well, I like this song, and I hope you will too, so let me know what you think of it. Again, this is Bill's Sound Scientist.
Coming in so loud and clear, a voice call trying to steal my ear, stopping me suddenly in my tracks, and I appreciate the facts why I'm here. Yes, I am a sound scientist, came to evaluate the evidence on a closed case, highly classified, confidential, in a race against the clock. She said as I lift my head and I'm awoken from a daydream. Not sure how long I was out for, looking for the cure, thought I saw on the shore. But when I looked again, found I had been mistaken, looking in the wrong direction, hanging questions, take me close to the answer. I get a chance, cause when I hit the wall, I'm stumbling back and setting me up for the fall of a life.
Oh, just up with somewhere to go, I know I'd rather stay. Mix it up, stir it in a cup, it's an elixir. Quick fixer, open to the public, free sample. Supply sample, catching on quick, so you better act now. And I think you'll find it might just do the trick. Trade your chips in, waiting for the medicine. Craving a little something to take the edge off while you're waiting. Don't come in a bottle, but it's kicking full throttle. So open up your hands and let me hit you with some. Of a
Again, that was Bill, Sound Scientist. Kind of like a little bit of a G-Love and Special Sauce meeting the Bare Naked Ladies. A little bit of wit thrown in there. Some good music in general from the PodSafe Music Network there, music.podshow.com. This brings us to the namesake here of the Caffeination. We're going to talk a little bit about a new drink that I've been trying lately. When I was down at, when I was down in the islands with my brand... Alright, we're going to knock that off. When I was down in the islands on my honeymoon with my then brand new wife, we were at an island called St. Lucia. Wonderful little getaway. Well, we bought this little gift package from the shops down there and contained a little stick of cocoa and a couple different herbs and spices. Didn't really think much of it. I just wanted to try something different. Well, I made it last week. This stuff is awesome. It's a St. Lucian chocolate recipe. It's not like your average hot chocolate here, so if you don't like bitter chocolate, you can probably turn this down until you hear the next song. But this is how you make it. Now, just take good notes here. You take 1 tablespoon of cocoa powder for every 6 ounces of water you're going to use. You use 1 bay leaf, a pinch of grated nutmeg, cinnamon, and milk to taste. Alright, and then what you do is you boil the water with the bay leaf in it, okay? After that reaches a good high rolling boil. Now, you get a good high rolling boil, you're going to sift in the cocoa powder. And then after that mixes in, you're going to turn it down to simmer. Add your nutmeg, your milk, and your cinnamon, and then you're going to let this simmer for about 5 minutes till you get a good nice roll and boil in the pot. Make sure you use a good high pot, because if you use a low one, this stuff will boil over very quickly and is a mess to clean off the side of a nice good silver pot there. So let it sit for a little bit. You can add a little sugar if you want to. Think of this more like coffee and less like hot chocolate. I am in love with this drink. I've tried it a couple times. I actually used up most of the little cocoa stick that they gave us, so I moved over to Nestle's cocoa. I'm actually going to see if I can find a couple different brands and see which one tastes the most like the St. Lucian. The Nestle's is a little bit drier, if that it's a little bit drier on the palate. The St. Lucian one was a little bit fuller, a little bit sweeter. I think they left actually a little bit of the moisture in the cocoa stick when they did it, so you had to grind the stick up. And let me tell you, people, if you're going to use nutmeg, use fresh grated nutmeg. Same with cinnamon if you can, but nutmeg makes all the difference. And trust, remember, just a little bit of a pinch, because otherwise you're going to be just drinking straight nutmeg. This stuff is real strong. The only reason that we're mentioning it here today on the Caffeination podcast is because most people don't know this, but chocolate has caffeine in it. And this stuff gave me a pretty good rush. And from a caffeine veteran, a little junkie in the caffeine wars, to give me a little bit of a kick in the heart, you know, actually a pretty good thing at this point. So I'm going to talk a little bit about my caffeine ritual and how I go about breaking down the resistance that most people end up building up to coffee over the years, months, days, decades. But yeah, this stuff is great. Like I said, has a little bit of a woody flavor, you know, that's probably due to the nutmeg and everything else. And if you can stomach it without sugar, it's a little bit of a acquired taste, but it is wonderful. All right, next up here, I actually just picked this up this morning, so it's not necessarily old news. We're walking down the aisle today here at the local Superfresh, and we happened across this wonderful concoction. On the entire shelf of all the chocolate syrups and everything, they have one different bottle. Looks more like a milk chocolate variety. You look down at it, look very closely, and it says coffee syrup. Are you intrigued? Well, so am I. So what you do is, according to the front of the label, didn't even bother to read the back, you add this coffee syrup to cold milk, and it gives you an authentic iced coffee drink. I don't know about the rest of the people out there, but I happen to use water when I brew coffee, so I was intrigued. Needless to say, when I had this, it was truly delectable, very sugary, and I'm thinking of actually putting this stuff on top of ice cream. I'm going to use it just like most people use chocolate syrup. So for those watching, your calories might not be the best thing. For those in for a good taste excursion, give it a shot. Okay, and one more little tech news, till tech tidbit we got going on here. The iPod update, the FireWire that I was kind of pissed off about last time, the brand new video iPods, the lack of it. Well, I did a little bit more research and found out why there is no FireWire capability in either the Nano or the FireWire, or the iPod 5G, rather. It's because, due to the new slimmer profile, the svelter outline of it, they had to cut down certain things, and turned out FireWire support was one of the things they cut out. Yeah, brilliant job, guys. After you spent most of this last decade convincing everybody to buy a FireWire card for their PC, you go and take the support out of your most prevalent object in the PC world. Brilliant. Yeah, a little bit pissed off, hoping they put it back in. And this is also another little Apple tidbit here. I'd like to send a big shout out to people over at Apple Computers, from whom I won an iPod Nano this past Friday. Very spiffy, guys, very spiffy. A little 2-gig iPod Nano. I was attending a seminar for work at Temple University, and they were discussing their new line of software, both normal and pro user apps, the ones that they had currently available, and they were planning on bringing out. And they gave away 2 iPod Nanos to people in attendance, and I happened to be one of the lucky guests to get one. Haven't really listened to the sound quality yet on it. I've just been playing with the picture feature, since my iPod is one of the iPod 4G variety without color. So I'm amazed at how thin this thing is. Think of 2 little sticks of gum put on top of each other, and that's how thick this thing is. I feel like I'm going to break it just holding it in my hands. I mean, I don't have fat fingers or anything, but when I'm touching this, I'm going, geez, I'm going to break this right in half. Well, again, that is neither here nor there. Just wanted to send a shout out to Apple and tell them I like their product. Ready? Next up, from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com, we have a song by Mannequin called Cats and Jammers. Again, that was Mannequin with Cats and Jammers from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. Today's episode was brought to you by the Fair Trade Certified Coffee from the Bucks County Coffee Company. No, they're not sponsoring the podcast, although I would love that, but it just so happens to be the latest Fair Trade coffee that I've been drinking. So I'll keep you up to date on the Fair Trade happenings here at the Caffeination, and you keep me up to date on the things that are happening in your life that we might find interesting. So again, thanks everybody, and see you next week. Until then, stay caffeinated, people.